గౌరేందోర్ అత్యద్భుతమలౌకికం యైర్దృష్టం తన్ముఖాశ్రుత్వా దివ్యోన్మాద విచేష్టితం.
I am simply trying to write about Lord Gaurachandra's transcendental activities and spiritual madness, which are very wonderful and uncommon. I dare to write of them only because I have heard from the mouths of those who have personally seen the Lord's activities.
So we see Sir Kaviraj Goswami is again and again reiterating the point. So this shows the gravity of the subject matter. This also shows how the Vaishnava ticket is not a detail. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda and all glories to Advaita Acharya and all glories to all the devotees of the Lord.
So in this way, in the company of Sarodamodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discussed Krishna Katha. So one night, after half the night, they spent talking about the pastimes of Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to compliment the ecstasy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, exactly according to that particular mood, Swarup Damodar Goswami would recite a song, would sing a song, or Ramanand Rai would actually recite a verse. Just like in the Rupini pastime, that word comes, Anurupa Rupini, exactly according to the mood of Krishna. So then, in this way, Mahaprabhu passed half the night experiencing varieties of emotions. So then after making Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lie down in the bed, Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar Goswami returned to their homes. So Govinda was there. And then it was described that Mahaprabhu was loudly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra whole night. Then suddenly Mahaprabhu heard the vibration of Krishna's flute. And although the three doors of the rooms were actually locked, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to depart to see Lord Krishna. Then all the doors were fastened as usual, but Mahaprabhu nevertheless got out of the room and left the house. And he went to the southern side of Simhadwara Gate. Previously he went to the northern side. Now he went to the southern side of the Simhadwara Gate. And there, in the midst of the cows, he went and actually lied down there. He fell down unconscious among the cows from the district of Tailanga. So Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda and Ramananda Rai, they went searching for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then finally, they somehow reached this particular place. And they went there. What was the description of Mahaprabhu? Mahaprabhu's body appeared like a tortoise. Tortoise actually withdraws all the limbs of the body inside. So Mahaprabhu's body appeared like a tortoise. And another comparison is given is that Mahaprabhu's body appeared like a big pumpkin. So his body was completely inert. But within he felt overwhelming transcendental bliss. And all the cows around the Mahaprabhu, they were actually sniffing over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, and they were not ready to give up the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were not allowing Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai to take Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. But somehow with great difficulty, they brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. So you can imagine, like, it must be a peculiar sight and how the devotees must have felt. So then they brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body, and then as usual, as the previous attempts when Mahaprabhu was going after Chatak Parvat, and when he was lying down unconscious in the Simhadwara Gate, so they tried to actually revive Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they started chanting the Hare Krishna mantra loudly. After a long time, then his body became normal, and then Mahaprabhu got up and then asked that, where have you brought me? So then from 23rd to 29th verse, Mahaprabhu gives the vision, what he saw, and then he says that, oh, why did you bring me? Just like the previous pastimes. So 23rd verse, Venu Shabda Shuni Ami Gelana Vrindavana Deki Goshte Venu Bajai Vrajendra Nandana.
After hearing the vibration of a flute, I went to Vrindavan, and there I saw that Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, was playing on his flute in the pasturing grounds.
So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that I saw Krishna playing the flute, and he took Srimati Radharani to a bower by signaling with his flute. So then I also entered the bower just behind Krishna. My ears were captivated by Krishna's flute sound. So here it seems that Mahaprabhu is in the mood of a gopi or something, because Srimati Radharani also entered with Krishna. So then Krishna and the gopis were enjoying all kinds of pastimes, and hearing their vocal expressions enhanced the joy of my ears. So at that time, when I was so joyful, all of you brought me here by force. And now, because you brought me, I am no longer able to hear this sounds talking between Krishna and the gopis, or nor the sound of the flute. Then Mahaprabhu says that my ears are dying of the thirst. Please recite something to quench this thirst. So that time, Swarup Damodar Goswami recites a verse according to the mood. 31st verse. Kastyangate kalapadamrita venu gita. Sammohitarya charitana chaletri lokya. Trailokya saubhagamidam chanirikshya rupam. Yad god vijadruma mruga pula kanya bin bran.
The gopis said, my dear Lord Krishna, where is that woman within the three worlds who would not be captivated by the rhythms of the sweet songs coming from your wonderful flute? Who would not fall down from the path of chastity in this way? Your beauty is the most sublime within the three worlds. Upon seeing your beauty, even cows, birds, animals and trees in the forest are stunned in jubilation.
So now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains this verse. This verse was spoken by the gopis to Krishna after they entered the Ras Lila Arena. 33 to 38th verse Mahaprabhu explains. He says that after the gopis entered the Rasa dance, on hearing Krishna's verse, and then when Krishna told the gopis that, my dear gopis, welcome, but by the way, why did you come here in the middle of the night? Please go back, it is a dangerous place. So like that, when Krishna apparently showed a negligence and told them to actually go back, so that time they began to chastise Krishna. So that time they spoke this verse. So then the gopis said that actually, who would not be attracted to your flute? Just answer this particular question. And 35th verse, the gopis are saying that your flute is like the yogini. Yeah, messenger in the form of a yogini who is perfect in chanting the mantras. And this messenger enchants all the women in the universe and attracts them to you. Then she increases their great anxiety and induces them to give up their regulative principle of obeying superiors. And finally, she forcibly brings them to you to surrender in amorous love. 36th verse. ಧರ್ಮ ಚಾಡಾಯ್ ವೇಣು ದ್ವಾರೆ ಹಣೆ ಕಟಾಕ್ಷ ಕಾಮಶರೆ ಲಜ್ಜಾ ಭಯ ಸಕಲ ಚಾಡಾಯ. ಏಬೆ ಆ ಮಾಯ್ ಕರಿ ರೋಷ ಕಹಿ ಪತಿ ತ್ಯಾಗೆ ದೋಷ ಧಾರ್ಮಿಕ ಹಯ ಧರ್ಮ ಶಿಕಾಯ.
The vibration of your flute accompanied by your glance which pierces us forcefully with the arrow of lust induces us to ignore the regulative principle of religious life. Thus we become excited by lusty desires and come to you, giving up all shame and fear. But now you are angry with us. You are finding fault with our violating religious principle and leaving our homes and husbands. And as you instruct us about religious principle, we become helpless.
So Mahaprabhu is saying that your flute sound is actually piercing us with the arrows of lust, and induces us to ignore the regulative principles. And then Mahaprabhu says that actually it is a well-planned trick. Whatever the gopis told Krishna, and Krishna told them to go back, gopis are saying it's a well-planned trick, and you know how to make jokes that cause the complete annihilation of women. As Prabhuji mentioned that, like, women in general, they are attracted to sweet talkers. So gopis are actually telling the same point. And then they are saying that your mind, words and behavior are different. So therefore you are a clever trick master. So Niti Shastra, there is a verse which describes about Mahatma and Duratma. Manasyekam Vachasyekam. The Mahatma is one whose actually mind, body and words are actually in coherence. Duratma is that one who speaks something, thinks different, and then acts differently. So gopis are in one sense accusing Krishna to be same. And then gopis are saying that they talk about the mixture of three nectars. Through the mixture of these three nectars, what are the three nectars? The Krishna's flute vibration, his sweet words, and sound of your ornaments. The mixture of three nectars, they are actually killing us. So in this way, Mahaprabhu spoke these words in a mood of anger, just like the gopi spoke in a mood of anger. Then Mahaprabhu personally explained the verse and thus tasted the sweetness of Krishna. Then at this time, Mahaprabhu speaks another verse from the Govinda Leelamrita. You can read the translation of 40th verse.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has a voice as deep as a cloud resounding in the sky. With the tinkling of his ornament, he attracts the ears of the gopis, and with the sound of his flute, he attracts even the goddess of fortune and other beautiful women. That personality of Godhead, known as Madan Mohan, whose joking words carry many indications and deep meanings, is increasing the lusty desires of my ears."
So Mahaprabhu explains this verse till the 48th verse. So in this verse, basically, there are four aspects of sound vibration related to Krishna. So that is what is explained in the next seven verses. One is Krishna's voice. Krishna's voice, that is explained in 41 and 42. And then Mahaprabhu explains the tinkling of the ankle bells and bangles of Krishna. That is explained by Mahaprabhu in 43rd verse. And then the speech of Krishna, or the words spoken by Krishna. The third aspect of sound vibration, that is described in 44 and 45. And then the flute sound of Krishna. That is 46 and 47. So there are four aspects of the sound vibration. Krishna's voice, and tinkling of the ankle bells and bangles of Krishna. And third is that the Krishna's speech, the way he speaks, the words he speaks. And fourth is the Krishna's flute sound. So the Mahaprabhu is expressing that. The 41st verse. Kantera Gambira Dvani Navagana Dvani Jini Yara Gune Kokila Lajaya. Tara Yeka Shruti Kane Dubai Jaga Tera Kane Puna Kana Bahudi Naya Na Aya.
Krishna's deep voice is more resounding than newly arrived clouds, and his sweet song defeats even the sweet voice of the cuckoo. Indeed, his song is so sweet that even one particle of its sound can inundate the entire world. If such a particle enters one's ear, one is immediately bereft of all other types of hearing.
So then Mahaprabhu says that actually my ears have been plundered by the qualities of Krishna's sound. Now I cannot hear this transcendental sound. I am almost dead for want of it. Then he explains that the tinkling of the ankle bells and bangles of Krishna, it surpasses the songs of even the swan and the crane, and it puts the singing of the chataka bird to shame. Then, having allowed these sounds to enter the ear even once, one cannot tolerate hearing anything else. The 44th verse, say, I also was surprised actually. Chataka is usually compared for, but here it is compared for sweet singing also. Or it is mentioned chataka bird. Chataka, oh, what is it? 44th verse. Sei Shri Mukha Bhushita Amrita Haite Paramrita Smita Karpur Tahate Mishrita. Shabda artha dui shakti nana rasa kare vyakti pratyakshara narma vibhushita.
Krishna's speech is far sweeter than nectar. Each of his jubilant words is full of meaning, and when his speech mixes with his smile, which is like camphor, the resultant sound and the deep meaning of Krishna's words create various transcendental mellows.
So there are, Rupa Goswami describes various qualities of Krishna's speech in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So here it's explained that speech mixed with the smile, nectar mixed with the camphor. And here the ear is compared to the chakora bird in the 45th verse. And this chakora bird is actually lives only in hope of tasting that nectar. If suppose the bird cannot taste it, then the bird is almost dies of thirst. In the 46th verse, Mahaprabhu appreciates Krishna's flute sound. So it's explained that Krishna's flute sound makes the women become mad, and the women, by hearing the Krishna's flute sound, they are ready to be unpaid maid servants of Krishna. And their belts become loosened even in front of their superiors by hearing Krishna's flute sound. So when she hears the vibration of Krishna's flute, even the goddess of fortune comes to him, greatly hoping for his association, but nevertheless she does not get it. When the waves of thirst for his association increase, she performs austerities, but still she cannot meet him. Then 48th verse, Mahaprabhu concludes by saying that only the most fortunate can hear these four nectarian sounds. He is giving a summary. Krishna's words, the tinkling of his ankle bells and bangles, and his voice and the vibration of his flute. The 48th verse. So these four sounds only the most fortunate can hear. If one does not hear these words, his ears are as useless as small conch shells with holes. So similar to that. So it's a more heightened version of that second canto, third chapter verse. So that is but here. Madhilla second chapter also came. Achcha, achcha. So then Mahaprabhu was lamenting in this way. He became very restless. He exhibited so many different types of emotions, anxiety, lamentation, attention, eagerness. So the aggregate of these ecstasies once awoke a statement by Srimati Radharani, the mood of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Yesterday we talked about that Bhavodaya, Bhava Sandhi and Bhava Shabalya. Bhava Shandhi is a combination of different emotions. Bhava Shabalya is when the and one emotion supplants the previous emotion. So aggregate of these ecstasies once awoke. Here also the word comes Bhava Shabalya. So Mahaprabhu spoke another verse. This is a verse from Krishna Karanamrita. You can read the translation of 51st verse.
Alas, what shall I do? To whom shall I speak? Let whatever I have done in hopes of meeting Krishna be finished now. Please say something auspicious, but do not speak about Krishna. Alas, Krishna is lying within my heart like Cupid. Therefore, how can I possibly give up talking of him? I cannot forget Krishna, whose smile is sweeter than sweetness itself, and who gives pleasure to my mind and eyes. Alas, my great thirst for Krishna is increasing moment by moment.
So in this particular verse, so 51st verse he quotes, and then in two verses he explains. So essentially in this particular verse, in these three verses, the Mahaprabhu's mood is that he is in a mood of hopelessness of meeting Krishna. That is why the word alas comes three times. He is saying that, alas, my great thirst for Krishna is increasing moment by moment. To whom shall I speak? So the next two verses also Mahaprabhu is explaining that my friends, you are also deranged by lamentation. Who will tell me how to find him? How shall I find Krishna? So he is in the mood of hopelessness of meeting Krishna. And then he remembers the word spoken by Pingala, which gives hope. So what is that verse spoken by Pingala? Anybody remembers? Ashahi paramam dukkam nairashyam paramam sukam yata sanchidya kantasham sukam sushvapa pingala. So ashahi paramam dukkam, that means the material desires are the cause of great misery. Nairashyam paramam sukam, when a person becomes freed from the material desires, then he becomes blissful. Therefore, completely cutting off our desire to enjoy the so-called lovers, Pingala very happily went to sleep. Sukam suswapa Pingala. So Mahaprabhu then remembered these words of Pingala. Then he got a hope. Then arose an ecstasy that moved him to speak. Thus he explained the meaning of the verse. Now 54 to 61st verse. So Mahaprabhu, we can say he explains the meaning of that verse spoken by Pingala. 55th verse. Dekiye upaye Krishna asha chadi diye asha chadi le suki hayamana. Chada Krishna Kata Adanya Kaha Anya Kata Danya Yate haya Krishna vismarana.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, if I give up hope of meeting Krishna, I shall then be happy. Therefore, let us stop this most inglorious discussion of Krishna. It would be better for us to talk of glorious topics and forget him.
So you see, actually that Ashaki Paramam Dukkam, that talks about the material desires. When you give up the desires, you get highest happiness. So Mahaprabhu remembers that verse and he feels that, oh, I have to give up the desires to get Krishna. If you remember in the 10th canto, 47th chapter also, and Ping and the Brahmana Geet, that chapter. So there also the gopis actually, they remember Pingala, and then they also feel, like basically it is in that mood, the gopis were feeling that we have to give up the desires to attain Krishna. So Mahaprabhu is in a similar mood. He says that I should actually give up the hope of meeting Krishna, then I will be happy. So when Mahaprabhu was speaking like that, then Mahaprabhu suddenly remembered Krishna. So as soon as he remembered Krishna, then he was thinking, or Srimati Radharani told her friends, actually the person I want to forget is within my heart. Is lying within my heart. And when she remembered Krishna, that frightened her. And Srimati Radharani was thinking, or here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is thinking, actually Krishna is the Cupid and he is the greatest enemy. As a Cupid, he has conquered the whole world and he has taken inimical role and he has entered my heart and he is not allowing me to forget him. So then, basically they want to forget Krishna, feeling that by forgetting Krishna, Mahaprabhu is feeling that he will get happiness. So then Mahaprabhu feels that then the great eagerness conquered all the other soldiers of ecstasy. So as soon as he remembered Krishna, so he feels that, oh, Krishna is the greatest enemy, he is lying within my heart, he is not allowing me to forget him. Then at the same time, because of remembering Krishna, his eagerness increased like anything. And his eagerness to attain Krishna increases like anything. So then Mahaprabhu feels that he starts chastising the mind. An uncontrollable desire arose in the kingdom of Srimati Radharani's mind. So therefore, then Srimati Radharani starts chastising her mind. So why are you thinking of Krishna? So then, the 59th verse. Mana mora vamadina jala vina yena mina Krishna vina kshane mariyaya. Madurahasya vadane mana netra rasayane Krishna trishna dviguna badaya.
If I do not think of Krishna, my impoverished mind will die within a moment like a fish out of water. But when I see Krishna's sweetly smiling face, my mind and eyes are so pleased that my desire for him redoubles.
So you see, like what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood is that he feels that if he forgets Krishna, he will get happiness. And then suddenly the thought of Krishna appears. He tries to forget and suddenly thought of Krishna appears and he feels that Krishna is lying within my heart. He is not allowing me to forget. His eagerness increases and he starts chastising his mind that why are you remembering Krishna? And then again he's thinking that if I don't think of Krishna, then my mind will die within a moment like a fish out of water. But when I see Krishna's smiling face, that my eagerness to attain Krishna redoubles. So when his eagerness to attain Krishna redoubled, then Mahaprabhu starts intensely thinking that where is Krishna? Where is the divine ocean of all transcendental qualities? Where shall I go? Where to find Krishna? Then Mahaprabhu's desire becomes intensified, and then suddenly he starts running at a great speed. When Mahaprabhu starts running at a great speed to find Krishna, Swarupa Damodar Goswami and stood up and then caught Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then again brings Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the place. And Swarupa Damodar Goswami returns Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to external consciousness. Then he asks Swarupa Damodar Goswami to sing some songs. Then Swarupa Damodar Goswami sings the songs of Vidyapati and pacifies him. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was acting like a deranged madman every day. So Kaviraj Goswami says that even Ananta Dev cannot describe these pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he performed in a single day with his thousands of mouths. He says that just like we give an indication of where the moon is by indicating with the help of a branch, I have just given a slight hint of these pastimes in these verses. And but this description, although just a small indication I have given, but anybody who hears these pastimes, it will satisfy the ears of the person and the mind of the person who hears them. 67th verse. Adbhuta niguda premera madhurya mahima apani aswadi prabhu dekaila sima.
Ecstatic love for Krishna is wonderfully deep. By personally tasting the glorious sweetness of that love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us its extreme limit.
So Mahaprabhu showed the depth of the extreme limit of Krishna's ecstatic love by personally showing that. So next verse is also a very important verse. Adbhuta dayalu chaitanya adbhuta vadanya aiche dayalu data loke nahi shuni anya.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is wonderfully merciful and wonderfully magnanimous. We have heard of no one else within this world so merciful and charitable.
Sarva bhave bhaja loka chaitanya charana yaha haite paiba krishna premamrita dana.
O people of the world, worship the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all respects. Only in this way will you achieve the nectarian treasure of ecstatic love for Krishna.
So in this way, Kaviraj Goswami says that I have described the pastime of Mahaprabhu becoming like a tortoise and pumpkin. And this pastime is described by Raghunath Das Goswami in the Gauranga Stava Kalpa Vriksha. You can read the translation, 72nd verse.
How wonderful it is, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his residence without opening the three strongly bolted doors. Then he crossed over three high walls, and later, because of strong feelings of separation from Krishna, he fell down amidst of cows of the Tailanga district and retracted all the limbs of his body like a tortoise. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared in that way, rises in my heart and maddens me.
Shri Rupa Raghunatha Padeyara Asha Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa.
Praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rupa and Shri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita following in their footsteps.
So we'll end here. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.